Access all areas with Joanna Shimonides and Stephen Lang on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Access All Areas, once again being recorded from our homes. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Joanna Shimonides. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I feel like I'm waking up at ridiculous times. I'm going to bed at ridiculous times. But do you know what? I'm embracing it, because when we get back to work, that's when we're going to complain about having to get up early and go to bed early.
That is very true. I was actually thinking, yeah, I'm not going to be enjoying going on an hour-long commute every morning when I've got to go back to my normal job.
Absolutely not. And I'm not ready to just to be around so many people. I feel like I'm getting so used to being on my own, in my own little shell, that suddenly to be in front of like loads of people is going to be I feel like a new experience. How you been, though?
Yeah, I'm all right, to be fair. It's been quite a busy week with my work, so that's good. I have been ordering posters online. I've been...
Just to hang up?
Yeah, well, like, get frames and stuff, you know. I've been ordering stuff for my balcony. I've been loads of bits and bobs, so...
I love that. Don't you feel like I've got stuck into just going through, like, Amazon so much? I feel like I'm going through it, like, all the time, every day, just trying to find really cheap stuff that just looks like presentable, just for fun.
Oh, like clothes and stuff?
Not clothes, just stuff for my room and that. But I just feel like I'm like my little brother the other day just ordered like this like mannequin head to put his headphones on its head. And I just think, are you okay? But then I kind of get it. You're just finding things to do and just buy silly stuff just for fun, just spend time with it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, we're all bored. I think this is the point, isn't it? We're all bored.
So bored. But I think, Stephen, I've come to the conclusion I'm ready to move out. I'm ready for my own space.
So you, how long have you been living with your family then?
So obviously I went to university, then I was living with my mum in Leicester, then I then came to London after Love Island, and I live with my dad, Nan and little brother. So it's been like for my whole life really, but it's just getting to a point where I'm just outgrowing it all now. I feel like I need my own space just to be me and be free.
Do you think you'll actually do that then? So maybe when we're out of lockdown, you'll start looking for a place to live?
100%. I've always been talking to my dad. I've got his confirmation. I was like, Dad, like, I'm ready. Like, it's time.
Is he like, yes, please, can you just get out? We're sick of you.
He's like, it is time. You are right, correct. And my little brother went, just me and you, Dad. And I went, have fun. Enjoy. Little brother, you enjoy being with my dad.
So does your nan not usually live with you then? Is this just because of the current situation?
No, so she's always lived with us because my uncle was Down syndrome. So my nan and uncle lived together. And then when he passed away, my dad obviously was like, well, we don't want you to live on your own. So she moved in with us. And it's great having her around. I mean, I get a tea brought up to me every day.
Oh, lovely.
I get sandwiches. I get the whole lot. And obviously it's nice having her and just like growing up with her. It's kind of nice. But yeah. I think I'm at that point, Stephen, where I'm like, I am ready for my own spice.
And your own spice. No, I totally get that. I mean, yeah, what are you going to look into moving back into London or what? What are you thinking?
Yeah, it'll be definitely more into like central London way maybe, but then prices go up, so you've got to be careful. We don't want to be silly now with money, do you?
No, certainly not at the moment, because who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Exactly. How you, obviously you live on your own now, don't you?
I do,
yeah. Do you prefer that?
I do. I think if I had housemates now, in the current environment, I'd probably be ready to kill someone. But actually, as it is, you know, because it's nice just to be able to, like, I know everything in the fridge is mine. I know I can watch the telly, I can go for a run, like I'm going to do straight after the show,
yes.
I was saying earlier.
I love that.
Yeah, so like, and there's no one kind of bothering me. I'm kind of a bit of a loner anyway. I've got loads of friends, but I do really like my own space and my own time.
Like, that's like me. As much as I like to speak loads, I love being on my own. And I feel like everyone's like, you know, you're going to struggle living on your own. I was like, no, I've got so used to talking to myself through Instagram stories. I'm so used to just communicating with myself through the phone. I'm all good. I'm not going to, like, I'm okay with that. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
So I feel you on that one.
Yeah. I think there's some people, like, I do know, I've got friends who are really struggling by themselves in flats and houses and stuff. But for me, I just think, you know,
it's like just meditate. Like my brother lives on his own. He's like to meditate
He's
loving life. He's loving it. So that's good.
It's very good to like order your thoughts, I think, meditation. Although I have found actually the one, I was quite into my exercise, maybe not in the end of last year, but I had periods where I've been really into it. at the minute, I just can't bring myself to do anything. I've just lost all motivation.
I'm the same. And I think the minute you get yourself up doing it, it's going to be easy to continue. It's that getting yourself to that one thing. I just can't do it. I've been nominated to the 5K run about 50 million times. I keep saying to people, stop nominating me because I can't do it. I will walk it.
Can you run?
I mean, I've always been, I'm a short distance runner. So when I was younger, I used to do a lot of like relay type thing.
Okay.
But I'm not a long distance runner. And I feel like if I did 5K, I probably wouldn't be here next week, Stephen.
And I can't present this show by myself, Jana.
Exactly. So to save my life, I'm going to not do it.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, we have a very exciting show lined up for today, don't we? And you particularly are very excited about one guest.
We're going to reveal it now.
Yeah, go on. We need to tell everyone who's coming up.
We've got Dylan Francis on, guys, from Tiger King.
So he is the man that married Joe Exotic. He's his current husband.
Stephen, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
It's very exciting to be speaking to him. Now, he is calling in from America. So let's hope that it all goes well. There is no guarantees here. We'll hope for the best. We also have some other stellar guests. We have Rosie and Eliza from Made in Chelsea. They're coming up just now. We have gorgeous Jeanette from Strictly. Coming up, and absolute legend that is Mr. Motivator.
Yes.
Now maybe I can get him to give me a little warm up before I go for my run after the show. So
that's what I'm thinking. I think we might have to get him to show us a few moves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really dressed for it, but you know, we'll go for it anyway.
We both fine. I'm in dungarees.
actually, to be fair, neither of us are in workout gear, but we'll make it work. We'll make it work.
We can do this. We can.
Shall we get our first guest in, Rosie and Eliza? Hello.
Hi. Am I in?
You are in. You are in.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Thanks so much for coming on and speaking to us today.
Yes.
Not at all.
You look really fresh.
Oh, thanks so much. I mean, my hair is so greasy.
Oh, don't. Do you know what? I'm embracing greasy hair, so I think we just need to embrace it.
Yeah, I think the slick back bun. It's the
absolutely
only option.
It's looking very like Gwyneth Paltrow, I feel.
Oh, I'll have to look on Google. Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Well, as well as we can be right now.
So, how are you guys both coping with lockdown at the minute, then?
Actually, quite well.
Really?
I mean, it's no different, to be fair. I'm still got uni, so this would be my Easter holidays, and Easter tends to be full of work anyway. So until my deadlines are done, not that much has changed, apart from getting out more, weirdly, because now it's been limited, as in now that we're not allowed out, but we're allowed 1 hour, I'm taking that hour, whereas before I wouldn't have left. I'd have just sat on my desk. But for some weird reason, because now they're saying, you've got an hour, I'm making the most of the hour that I wouldn't have before.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
I guess it's easier to focus as well on your university work, because you've got that, like, you're stuck inside, there's nothing you can do anyway. Whereas normally, because I went to university, I was like going out, I was coming back doing like 2 minutes of work, and be like, see you later, I'm going to go out again now. So I guess you could probably focus more now.
Yeah, a wee bit though, obviously, because it feels a bit like the world is on pause. I feel like uni should be as well. I don't know. It feels like unfair that the deadlines are coming forward and everything else is stuck still.
And what about
is
you,
Rosie?
What do you mean?
Sorry,
oh, no, sorry, literally, as in like hypothetically, that's the only thing that is.
I thought they said, you know, you've got 4 weeks to do your work. Oh, now you've got 2 weeks. I was like, what? Is that even legal? Is that allowed?
Nah.
Imagine.
What about you, Rosie? How are you getting on?
Kind of the same. I mean, I'm not at uni anymore, but I feel like it's a great time to just be focused on various projects and like get some work done, essentially. There are no other distractions. I don't have any FOMO anymore. I am somebody who like definitely suffers from FOMO all the time, so I just would like fill my schedule and be running here, there and everywhere. And now, because that's an option, I've kind of been forced to sit down and take stock and like really focus on all the things that I've been meaning to do for ages and have been putting off.
Yeah, I think that's the nice thing for everyone, really, isn't it? What's happening with Made in Chelsea at the moment? Was it planned to be in film anytime soon, or what's the score?
I think like everybody, we're just following the kind of the guidelines, and at the moment filming's paused because we obviously can't meet up as we normally would, but we're all kind of keeping in touch. And like Eliza and I have been doing Verity's Pilates classes, which have been good fun, and kind of keeping in touch with people. But it's just strange times, I think, for everybody.
Disclaimer, I am terrible at Pilates.
I don't know how you girls are doing it. Me and Stephen were saying that we are just literally struggling with like getting ourselves up to do exercise or anything like that. And I don't, how do you guys, like, did you do Pilates normally? Or
never.
Just because you're in isolation, you're doing it now?
Yeah, never. And it's not something I'll probably necessarily continue. I'm truly awful. I'm so inflexible and I don't know, I'm not very good at exercise, I'm an impatient person, so it's a bit slow for me, but it's fun, and like as Rosie says, this is a time to maybe try something new. But I think because the only time you can go outside is to exercise, I'm exercising more because it's my time outside.
Yeah, I get that. I can totally understand that.
I'm just not doing it. Where are we finding this? Because I'm going for walks with my dogs and I'm like, right, 5 minutes out, I'm done now, I'm going home, I'm going to cook some food. I can't do it.
I don't know what advice to give.
Like, no, but it could either feel like your moment of freedom or you're almost being forced to do it, because we keep hearing like, oh, you are allowed to go out for your 1 hour of exercise, when maybe, like, I think it's quite good to stick to some aspects of normality as well. Like, if we wouldn't normally, like, I would normally go to the gym maybe twice or three times a week or go walking in the park and stuff. So I wouldn't now be doing more than that just because I don't have anything else to do. I kind of tried to stick to like what I would normally be doing. And if I'd normally be working for 6 hours of my day, I'll try to do the same thing now, even though it looks very different. And I've been watching so much Netflix, so I kind of need to exercise to counteract the two for time.
Yeah, I've been finding that I can't even concentrate on the programs though. Like I can't, my concentration levels are just shot. So
I'm hoping they'll come back eventually. My parents, and we're treating it almost like a mission or a competition. I won't say how many because it's really embarrassing, but we sit down and watch a good few hours of TV every evening, and it's almost like I really enjoy everything that we've watched so far. And we've been watching like really interesting things, some kind of like documentaries, and then super weird stuff as well. But it's like, okay, we need to finish this season. Right, we finished it. On to the next one.
I get it.
I've just finished Tiger King. I'm obsessed with it. So
it's so crazy.
Well, honestly, after you guys,
can't get any weirder.
We have Dylan, who is married to Joe Exotic, as our guest on straight after.
Yeah.
Can we stay?
You'll have to listen. No! On Thursday.
Oh my god!
I know. Good, it's right? crazy. It's absolutely
that is
crazy.
So exciting. I just love the memes.
Well, they'll never.
But that's
never
actually one thing. This whole lockdown period, the meme content has been classic.
And the TikTok as well.
TikTok, yeah, is taking off.
Everybody's getting into TikTok.
Yeah, well, they did a funny one. So it was the song, but it was like a dance to it. It was about
Carole Baskin.
yeah, that one. Oh my god, it was so funny. And everyone's so done good. That. It's really good.
Joanna, you're going to have to explain to me how TikTok works, because I've downloaded it and I've got absolutely no clue what's going on.
Don't you worry. I will show you the ropes.
Thanks, babe. That's right. Yeah,
that's the one.
Thank you. I actually
tried to learn one dance today, but I don't, maybe there is a gap in the market for a lanky, mal-coordinated woman. I don't know. Like, because everyone who's on it is like super petite and like has such good rhythm.
Do you know what it is? I've got really lanky arms, like really long arms. Considering I'm small, I've got really long arms. I feel like I can't do the dances because my arms just look so wrong. I just stick to the comedy side of things and just like doing the funny ones as opposed to like serious dances. I think maybe try the comedy stuff instead.
That's the key. So what can you tell us about what's going on in Made in Chelsea? There's obviously been some old characters who are coming back and all that kind of stuff. What have you made of that?
I've been at uni. I took until I'd got my degree done, I was going to just stay in Durham and not come down to film. So I'm actually like don't have too much insight. I've been watching it though. It's thoroughly gripping.
Okay.
Oh,
I think it's interesting. I've met I was traveling for a little while. And so I've just got back and before all of this was happening, we've kind of met some of the older characters who I'd never met before, because I'm kind of friends with people who have been on the show more recently. Mm-hmm. And I think there's kind of slight age gap as well, probably not too big. Everybody seems lovely. Binky seems really lovely. And Ollie as well. So So I'm excited to get to know them a little bit better. But I think we've kind of all been sort of pretty scattered anyway. And now with this, it feels like we're all very distant. So I can't wait to get back and really get to know everybody.
And Rizzy, obviously you had a little bit of drama with Jamie Lang. How are you guys now?
I think we're okay. You probably have to ask him. But
thing still baffles me.
Oh, it baffles me, to be honest. I mean, I think, again, because when that happened, I was like you, Eliza. I was at uni, I was doing my law conversion, and I was totally focused. Like, I had my exams coming up, and it was a very hectic, stressful period for me. So you kind of do remove yourself slightly from the group, and you sort of don't hear all of everything that's going on. So I really, really had no idea about Hadis and Jamie. But obviously now, I don't know if you guys have been watching their like isolation videos. They're so funny and they're really sweet together. So I'm really happy for them. And I think, you know, we were all in Buenos Aires together in November, like October, November now. And we got along really well. And that was after the whole thing had blown over. So I think it was just tense at the time because their relationship was still quite fresh, and that was possibly difficult for them. And you know, it was a little bit upsetting for me as well. It's never nice to kind of find out that other stuff has been going on behind your back. But we've been able to put it all behind us and like move on, and we get along very well now.
Good, glad to hear it.
So obviously Jamie recently said that he's been having like 400 arguments with his girlfriend and mum. Is that a surprise to you? Like, do you know if they argue a lot? Is that something that
I don't know, is that since lockdown, like quarantine?
Yeah.
I imagine that just being with anybody I have a lot of arguments with both my parents about the silliest things, about putting like, I don't know, the fork in the knife section in the kitchen or whatever, like just as random as it can get. And I think it's just the fact that we're now all spending so much time with whoever we are kind of isolating with. I definitely feel really grateful that I'm isolating with someone, because I have friends who are isolating on their own in their flats, and I think that must be very difficult. But
we were discussing that before. I'm isolating by myself essentially, but I actually find it fine. I'm kind of fine.
Yeah, and I'm isolated with my parents, well, my dad and my nan and everyone, and it's honestly a pain. So I think I wouldn't mind being on my own right now. I think when I'm not like with them 24/7, I'm all right. But I mean, yeah, it is a pain.
So when can we expect any more Made in Chelsea?
I'd love to know. It's a good question.
The current
season is obviously like airing, and will continue to air until the end of what we were able to film. But I think really it's just a matter of like seeing what the government says and seeing what kind of guidelines there are moving forward about like when we are able to film. And I know that everyone else as well is like really keen to get back to it and just get back to normality and normal life and like hanging out with our friends and seeing people.
I was actually thinking it just couldn't really work on Zoom.
No.
I was trying to like work out logistics and whether they could just film Zoom conversations with people, but
oh my god, I don't know, maybe a lockdown special.
Yeah,
but then
you see a lot of these programs that I don't know if you saw the other day, Lady Gaga did that series of concerts with all those people trying to raise awareness.
The One World thing.
But it is quite odd watching people with their shaky camera work.
But also for two hours,
you know.
Someone would throw a drink at someone and then break their laptop and be like, oh, darn it.
Yeah, that wouldn't work on a Made in Chelsea scale. That's completely understandable. My one question I have for everyone who we're talking to, what are you watching? Because I'm running out of things. Can you give me advice on something to watch?
Yeah.
I am obsessed with Money Heist.
Oh my god, it's so good. It's just so good.
I'm not a fan of the fact that you've got the subtitles and then...
Well, you can watch it in English if you wanted to, but I think their Spanish voices are sexier. Also, it feels like you're reading a book, so you feel quite accomplished when you've finished.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah.
I have to say, I am a big fan. Like, I think there are some really, really good Spanish and Italian shows, and like it is kind of frustrating, but if you can stick with it, like Money Heist, Baby, Toy Boy is kind of like super trash, but really, really good. But also, I really, really like Grace and Frankie and the Kaminsky Method, which are both about kind of octogenarians, and at first I started watching and thinking, I've got nothing in common with these people.
People in their 80s.
Elderly folks.
There is some crazy like series out there at the moment. I just can't get to grip. Tiger King is the only one that I'm actually like was able to watch and actually get into, but everything else I struggle to get into.
No, you gotta just push through with Money Heist, I promise.
Okay.
And Grace and Frankie, it's so sweet. It's got Jane Fonda in it and they're just really, really
I don't know if you like the classic I don't know if you like the classic BBC series kind of stuff. Like The Nest is really good. It's a 5 episode.
Oh, I just finished that.
So good.
Okay,
I love those BBC series.
Very good.
Love a good English.
Good bit of drama.
I was just going to say, I've been wondering if this isolation is going to go on for so long that we actually eventually run out of things to watch.
I could watch Friends again and again and again and again and again. Like, Friends has me sorted for life.
Oh,
so
my God. You Friends nutters. Oh, my God.
It was meant to be actually a new Friends, wasn't it? They were meant to have a reunion one.
Oh, yeah. It's been delayed.
I think that was a bit of fake news in the sense it wasn't going to be, like, a reunion.
It wasn't going to be a new show.
Really?
Yeah.
Something. I don't know.
Human.
I think you are right. Well, Eliza and Rosie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Keep well. Keep well.
Yes, you do.
Thank you, girls.
When can we watch Made in Chelsea?
Monday 9 p.m. Monday.
Oh. Got it. Thank you very much, guys.
Silly question.
Bye.
Well, that was lovely to speak to the Made in Chelsea girls. We now have our next guest, probably the most talked about men in the world at the minute.
Absolutely.
Dylan from the Tiger King. How are you?
Hi.
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Good. Thanks so much for speaking to us. We're both very excited to have you on, especially Joanna, who has literally just finished the series. So.
I literally finished the series yesterday, so it's amazing. Have you watched it yet?
Oh, I've watched it like 3 times through, yeah.
How has this period of time been for you? I can imagine it's totally insane.
It's definitely been overwhelming. You know, a lot of people have been reaching out and kind of like interested in what I'm doing. And I'm not used to that. So it's definitely taken some getting used to.
Yeah. When did they finish filming?
So the last interview I did with them was in like January of 2019. But most of the footage that they have is just the stuff that Joe had saved on hard drives from like his years at the zoo. So I mean, they didn't really film too much themselves. It was mostly just like, of Joe and I really, but
got it.
It was mostly just stuff that Joe already had.
Right.
Love. Was there so any... How's your life? Oh,
go on.
How's your life changed now since the show? Because obviously before you had like obviously no fame and then suddenly you had a load of fame and it's one of like the most watched Netflix series. So how's your life changed since?
You know, people keep saying I'm a celebrity and like I do not feel like that whatsoever. I'm just like a normal dude. Sorry, my phone hit 20%. I'm the worst at charging this damn thing.
I'm the same.
But no, so people keep calling me a celebrity. I'm like, I'm just a normal dude. Like, I do everything that everybody else does. It's not like I'm, you know, living in Hollywood or anything like that. So it's definitely been weird. People like wanting to take pictures and like reaching out to me. And I just found there's like a freaking Dylan Passage fan page on Instagram. I'm like, now I'm just waiting for the hate page, honestly.
Well, have you had, obviously there's been a lot of attention about how you look and about your relationship with Joe. Have you been getting a lot of attention, a lot of male attention since the show?
I mean, I've definitely received quite a few nudes from people and it's just like, keep that to yourself. Like, I already know what a wiener looks like. I don't need to see what it's
doing. So. I do sometimes sit there and think, what is going through people's mind when they send that? Do they think I'm going to be like, wow, love that? Except.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, no, it's definitely not like that. No, I'm just like, delete, swipe, yeah.
But is that a bit difficult? Because obviously you're with someone who's in prison and, you know, you're getting this attention from probably some very attractive people. Like,
I mean, you would think so, but it's mostly the very unattractive people that are reaching out. I mean, I feel like they are the most brave out of everybody. But no, I mean, it's it was definitely like really weird. I mean, obviously Joe's in jail. He's going to be in jail for a long time. And like, we've had the conversation that if like I decide to move on and find somebody, then he would support that because he doesn't want me to be alone forever.
And you're still very young as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But even if I did decide to move on, you know, I would still have Joe in my life. I'd still talk to him daily. So it's just nothing I'm looking for right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you had any temptations today, or is it just been strictly like, no, I'm done, not yet?
No, I mean, really, I'm just focused on myself. I don't need to fill any kind of void. Like, I don't feel like I'm missing something in my life, like in my love life. Because I mean, I do have contact with Joe, and you know, I was gonna say something, but I probably shouldn't say that.
You can say whatever you like.
But yeah, so I'm not trying to like, I don't need anybody else to kind of make me feel better about myself.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. What was it that first attracted you to Joe?
So the first time I met Joe face to face, he sang to me in the karaoke bar. So it was very, he sang one of his own songs. One of the ones he actually wrote and sang himself.
Oh yeah. Cause there's been some drama about him not singing his own songs, right?
Yeah. Him singing then, songs, or is it not him?
Some songs are really him, like about 6 or 7 songs were the ones he wrote and sang himself. But then there's other songs that he didn't, that he wrote or helped write. But there was another dude named Vince who sang them. But yeah, so he sang me this song, and you know, I was a little tipsy maybe, but he was like super friendly to everybody in the bar. Like, it's just, he has a really strong energy and it kind of like draws people to him. So yeah, it was just kind of, I wanted to get to know him more, you know.
He's clearly a very, very charismatic guy, and that's
and
like,
very opinionated, and he's not afraid to speak his mind.
But that's also come, you know, got him in trouble, and I think, like, you know,
definitely,
Has anything that you've heard since the show like shocked you or surprised you? Because I know I read some things about him making racist comments that were taken out of the show and all those kind of
things. Yeah, see, people tried to say that like he was racist, but I mean, there was people of all ethnicities and backgrounds working at the zoo. You know, I never saw Joe do anything that was even a little bit racist. I mean, people are going to say that, obviously, you know. He may say some dumb things sometimes, but in front of the camera, Joe is like a completely different person. Behind the camera, when he's at home, he's like sweet, like super caring, like romantic. And it's like things that people did not see in front of the camera. And, you know, he wanted to grab people's attention, and being a big old mushy baby is not going to do that. So he was going to be the most outgoing person he could possibly be.
Okay.
And how do you keep quite a spicy romantic relationship with someone who's in prison? Like, you know, you get to speak to him, what, 2-3 times a day? Like, how do you maintain it?
You see, I mean, like, sexually, I'm not, like, the most, like, that's not what drives me. You know, I'm more of a quality time kind of person. So, like, our conversations are always, like, just very positive and uplifting. Obviously, we don't have like sex phone calls over his jail stuff.
Would that be legal if someone did that? Would that be okay? Would they not be okay with that? How does that work?
You know, I have no idea. Obviously, I have not been in that situation. But I feel like it would be really weird and awkward, and it's just weird. But our conversations are just like more uplifting. Like he's like, oh. He really loves my dog a lot, and he's like, what's my dogger doing, you know, because she's a girl, and he just, like, always talks about how, you know, he used to play with her in the yard and stuff. He's like, I miss throwing the frisbee to her, taking her to the beach, and, you know, things of, like, just to make him feel positive about coming home. That's what really makes him happy.
So are you thinking that he will get an early release? I know that there's been, obviously, President Trump. Talk about President Trump being involved and all these kind of crazy kind of things you probably could never have even conceived of, you know, this when you were filming it. What do you think?
Did
you think
he might? I mean, there's definitely a possibility, you know. I mean, if he doesn't get the pardon from President Trump, then, you know, we're at least hoping for a lesser sentence after this appeal process. But Joe is a huge Trump supporter. I really do not give two craps about politics because it really never works out in anybody's favor unless they're nuts. But so, you know, he was super excited to hear that Trump even said his name. It was a big deal for him.
Oh, bless.
You know, but Trump, he kind of, in my opinion, blew it off as a joke. He was like, oh, what do you think? What do you think? Oh, you can't really answer that because you're a reporter. So, you know, and then he was like, oh, I'll look into it. Next question. Mm-hmm. So we'll see kind of what happens with that. I mean, fingers crossed, you know, we're going to hope for the best, but you never know.
Yeah, you could end up being in the White House before you know it.
Stunning. Has there been any update with Trump? Has he updated anything? He said anything else? Or was it just that one comment?
Just the one comment, yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I don't ever want to get my hopes up. You know, I've done that in the past where I'm like thinking like, yeah, oh, this is going to work. It's happened the whole time Joe's been in jail, you know, so then, you know, every time it's kind of a letdown when it doesn't work out. So I don't want to be too hopeful, but I'm going to stay positive and, you know, really think realistically, like what could possibly happen. And so if he doesn't get the pardon, hopefully lesser sentence, because it was a setup and I have proof on Joe's cell phones, which they didn't use in the trials.
Right. Okay. I mean, there's been a lot of talk and also like a lot of, like we were saying earlier, the lot of things that have come out since. What have you made about the discussions that he had been abusing the animals and then that?
Okay. So I really want to make this clear. When everyone is saying that Joe abused his animals, they are referring to the cub petting. So using the tiger cubs. But never once did Joe ever lay a hand on one of his animals. Okay, you have to really think about it, okay? If Joe is going to go every single day, multiple times a day, into a cage with 10 plus big cats, full-grown big cats at that, do you really think he would ever walk out alive? And he'd been doing that for 15 years. Mm. If he once abused them, as in beat them, they would have attacked him immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, they have so much power. And I mean, you can see even in the documentary, he will reach his hands through the cages or go into the cages and just rub their faces. They'll rub all over him. That's love. Yeah. That is not anything other than that, you know?
So why do you think it's being said then? Why do you think people are saying that? Is it people with an axe to grind or?
It's like, it's the animal rights activists. And I mean, I understand, you know, cub petting because it kind of desensitizes the animals and, you know, and a tiger is an exotic animal. It belongs in the wild. But that's what they refer to as abuse, is using the cubs for your own gain.
Right.
So, I mean, in a sense, they may be right, but they also may be wrong. Because cub petting can also lead to great educational purposes. People don't know that much about wild animals like that. But, you know, if you show them love and respect, they're going to treat you with the same respect back. And it took me, you know, I learned all of that being at the zoo. I learned so much about these animals that I never would have known if I wasn't able to personally interact with them. And you can't just go into a cage with a full-grown cat that's never been around you and think that you're going to walk out alive, because they're gonna test you and they're going to be like, oh, what can I do to this person, you know? So it's definitely a bond that you create with the animal when you raise them from a baby till they're full-grown.
Yeah, it's interesting how the rules are so different as well, because in America, you can do those kind of things that I don't think you can do in Europe. I don't know why. I don't know what the rules are, but it is very interesting. What is next for you, Dylan? Are we going to see you on Dancing with the Stars or something?
Everyone keeps asking me that. I mean,
I feel like it's a yeah. All you need is just a glittery jacket, you know, it's fine.
Maybe not a glittery jacket. That was a Joe thing, not a me thing. I'm more tank tops and swimming trunks is my kind of thing. But
you can't dance in swimming trunks.
Don't tell me. I can do it.
There was a thing going around that there's going to be a movie on the series. If there was to be one character to play you, who would that be?
It's got to be Zac Efron. That is a beautiful, beautiful man.
Yes.
You do have I think you've got the same color eyes as him, to be fair.
We so maybe do, yeah. I don't know if you could really see, but they're blue. Yeah.
I think you do look a bit similar to him, you know.
You're gonna give him a big head.
No, but really, I just say Zac Efron because I just want to meet him, and I know like he's not gonna try to play me and then not meet me, you know. So it's
Okay, yeah. Fair
and
enough.
And like segue into an A-lister, you know?
We've got one last question before we let you get on with your day. What do you think Joe's priority is in the world? Do you think it's his marriage to you, obviously, the Tigers, or do you think it's bringing down Carol? Because that's obviously become quite a big deal.
Big old Carol.
No, I mean, obviously him getting Carol caught for killing her husband is a huge thing to him. Which, you know,
who knows what happened. Don't know if that's true. We don't know if
it's true. Yeah, which knows, like, who knows what happened? You know, the investigators could either find something or they couldn't. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, up in the air. And if they do, then they do. And if they don't, then I kind of feel for her because everyone's been saying she's killed her husband. And if she didn't, that's got to really do an impact on her. But, you know, who knows? But I would say Joe's main priority is his marriage for sure. He's a very intimate person, and he's very caring, and he's told me the entire time he's in jail, like, I just want to take care of you, like, I'm sorry that I did this to you, and, you know, that it means a lot to me, but I don't want him to focus on him taking care of me. I want him to focus on getting out of jail and doing everything he can to better himself, and I think his main goal, though, once he gets out of jail, is to rebuild his reputation. Because it was totally tarnished and torn to pieces when he got arrested. And he wasn't able to tell his story until this documentary came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and certainly tell a story he has. Dylan, thank you so much for speaking to us today. Really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Yes, and, I enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm really glad. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See ya.
Oh, he's so sweet.
What a sweet guy. Actually, I mean, he kind of came across like that in the documentary, didn't he? But
it's so different from watching the Netflix series to then suddenly speaking to him in person. Not face to face, but like through
over the
screen.
Camera. Yeah. We actually have our next guest here right now, I believe. The absolutely gorgeous Jeanette Monrara.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. We can't see you at the minute. Are you there?
There we go.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good, and you?
Well, you are looking gorgeous considering, you know, most people are slobbing out in their...
I dressed up for you guys. What can I say? I made an effort. I even put perfume on.
Do you know what? Everyone we've had on today looks so fresh, and I just feel like, I need to take control of myself.
Jeanette, how are you finding lockdown life?
Do you know what? I know it sounds strange to say because so many people have lost their lives and so many people are in the front lines working so hard, but I've kind of enjoyed being home. Ali Ash and I are never, ever have the opportunity to be home for this long. We're normally either on tour, as we should be right now. We would have been on tour right now, or we're doing Strictly Come Dancing, which means our schedules are always all over the place. So to be home and actually kind of, you know, we moved into this flat about a year and a half ago now, so there's still lots of little things that I haven't done just because I haven't had the time. So it's nice to just be at home and live in our home.
Enjoying it's like the unexpected consequence of this is that you are, especially people who are married and stuff, they are just spending way more time together than you ever normally would, and it's just a completely different experience.
I'm not really a great cook either, so because I'm in home now, I'm forcing myself to start playing around in the kitchen and bake and cook.
Is Ali Ash appreciating that?
I've had the worst experience of cooking. It's not for me. I've literally been trying to cook so much, and it's just everything I'm cooking from scratch is just falling to pieces. So I've resulted in putting chicken wings in the oven and you're sorted.
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. I attempted on Easter to make a cream egg cheesecake. It tasted really good. But it did not look pretty at all.
Well, at the end of the day, taste is the most important thing.
Yeah, it was delicious, but I wouldn't post a photo of it anywhere, that's for sure.
Because everyone's been making cream egg brownies, not cream egg cheesecake.
Yeah, I love cheesecake. And the recipe said easy cream egg cheesecake recipe. That was the name.
You learned your lesson. Easy. You learned your lesson.
I learned my lesson. Yeah, I'm below easy.
How are you? Are you guys like finding keeping fit easy? Because obviously you're not in a studio, you know, you can't do what you'd normally be doing.
Well, I've been doing every day because I do need a little bit of a motivation myself. So I do every day except for Sundays. I take Sundays off. I do an online like ballet cardio workout class.
Yes, I've seen.
Oh, wow.
And
Yeah, it's cool because it's ballet based. It's obviously lots of ballet technique and training. And then I mix it up with just like body sculpting and just normal like abs or legs or something like that. I call it party ballet because I keep telling everyone I am not a certified gym instructor.
So it's just kind of whatever comes into your head.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm a ballet enthusiast. So wow. But it's I have a small flat, so it's the only thing I can do. In my kitchen area, I use the kitchen countertop as my bar. I make some space and then I go on my Instagram live and I do it. And I kind of feel like because I've put it out there that I'm going to do it and people are counting on me to do it with them, it motivates me to keep doing it every single day.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. It is like the pressure of social media though, isn't it? Just to keep entertaining, keep doing something. No.
I'm not really great with the gym, I have to admit. I thank God I dance because I'm not a big fan of going to the gym. So doing this is kind of keeping me in shape. It's also working on my dance technique because it's all, like I said, ballet-based exercises. And yeah, so hopefully fingers crossed whenever we do pick up and start where we left off. I'm not into, my dancing isn't too far out of the way.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously been a bit of like, there's been quite a lot of stories about Strictly and what the hell's going to happen because we don't know what the rules are going to be
all a bit like in waiting as well. I mean, I'm hoping and I'm crossing all my fingers that we get through this and we can push forward and do Strictly Come Dancing. I think Strictly brings so much joy to so many people. So I think people who will hopefully be looking forward to the Saturday night entertainment. But I don't know, on Thursday, we're going to have the big night in. And all the Strictly Come Dancing professionals have put together a dance routine. Each of us taught about like 10 seconds of the one song. I think it's Physical by Dua Lipa.
Okay.
And we've put it out there and we've named it the Keep Dancing Challenge to get everybody to join in and give it a go with us.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And it's really, really fun because I think, you know, people can join in. They can be taught by all the Strictly Come Dancing professionals. And then if you submit the videos and you just put the hashtag Keep Dancing Challenge, I think the producers might pick some of the funnest ones and put it on the live show on Thursday night.
Stephen, we know what we're going to do after
You've got to give it a go. Honestly, you two need to give it a go. And then just make sure that you put it online so we can use it. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, dear. I'll give it some thought. You were doing some of your own things as well, aren't you? Tell us about Talks with Jeanette.
Oh, well, I've always, always dreamed of my ultimate dream is to have a talk show or like host like This Morning or Lorraine. I love sitting down and talking. I could do that for ages. And I have a really big interest in people's stories and their backgrounds and just kind of getting to know them a little bit more. And I think now, because everybody is trying to reach out and just stay communicating and stay connected, I thought it would be a good idea to give it a go. So every night, again, Monday through Saturday at 7 p.m., I have my little Talks with Jeanette live on Instagram. And I bring in a guest every day and just talk about their careers and their lives and what they've gotten up to. I've had some pretty fun ones. I had Craig Breville Horwood, which was interesting.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then like Pixie Lott. Almost all the pros from Strictly. I've got an exciting one coming up in a couple of days that I can't wait to sit down and chat with. Tomorrow I'm baking with a guy named Eric Landnerd. He's an amazing pastry chef. So he's going to attempt to teach me how to do gingerbread, a ginger souffle. So we'll see how that goes.
You are setting yourself up for a fall here.
I know.
Even professionals can't do souffles.
I said, are you sure? I'm doing this live with you tomorrow night. He's like, you can do it. I believe in you. And I was like,
you're just going to have a little ginger flan at the bottom of a pan. Yeah.
I couldn't even do it. I wouldn't even try. I know what I'm like. I'm like, absolutely not.
But I feel like this is the time for me to give it a go because once Strictly kicks off or once my tour, remembering the Oscars, hopefully it's coming back now next year. When those things happen, I'm not going to have the time to sit down and do a little chat show. I'm not going to sit down and be able to cook the way that I'm cooking now. So this is the opportunity that I think I've been given just by our circumstances to give all those kind of things that I normally wouldn't do a go.
Yeah.
Let's hope that I still have a kitchen after that.
You haven't burnt it down. Yeah. How are you and Aliash getting on? Has there been any friction or difficulties? Are you getting on fine?
No, you know what? We're together all the time anyway. We spend so much time together. Strictly Come Dancing is probably the time that we spend the least amount of time together because we have our individual celebrities and we've got our own rehearsal schedules and timings with our celebs. house, but the whole rest of the year we're together 24/7. We tour together, we travel together.
Wow.
You know, so I think for us it's quite normal to be at home together. Mm-hmm. And it's been nice for us to be home together. Like, he just bought a barbecue. He's very excited because he's going to get barbecuing. And one of my favorite dishes that I've tasted in Slovenia when we went to visit his family years ago. And every time we go back, I said, I have to do it. It's these little sausages called čivapčići.
Oh,
okay, cute name.
And he's so excited to grill and make the čivapčići and the barbecue right here at home. So I'm like, yes, go for it. I'll do the kitchen, you do the barbecue, we're a team. It's great.
Oh, honestly, you two are such like couple goals, I think. Like,
honestly, because you're both dancers. Did you ever think that you'd end up with a husband who dances?
No, you know, I worked in a bank for 7 years. I have a degree in finance as well. So I think dancing was definitely never something that I expected in the books for me. I always danced and did musical theater more as a hobby because it was my kind of escapism because I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I was always really hyper as a kid. I was always putting on shows for the family and moving the furniture around in the living room. And so I did musical theater first. And then I had to start working because my family, you know, we didn't have a lot of money and I was 18 at the time. So I started working at the bank and studying at uni. And then dancing was kind of always just like this far-fetched dream that I thought, oh, wouldn't that be amazing? So to now be married to Ali Ash, a fellow dancer, and be on the biggest TV show on telly. it's definitely a pinch myself moment often when I have a bad day, actually, I try and reflect on that and just think about how lucky I am to be doing what I love and to be doing it with my husband. It's just amazing.
How did you two meet?
We met, it's a great story.
Oh, here we go.
We met almost 10 years ago now. And it was right here in London in Dance Attic. It's one of the oldest dance schools that they have here in Fulham. And Ali Ash walked in to audition for the show that I was already part of the show, but it's called Burn the Floor. And Ali Ash came in to audition. And when he walked in, I mean, everybody was like, whoa, who is that?
Well, I mean, I don't blame them.
That's my future husband.
And I just remember thinking, yeah, he's cute. But I just thought, because, you know, he's so handsome and he's so charming and charismatic and everyone was drawn to him just because he's got such an incredible personality. And I remember just thinking, nah, I'm not even going to bother. It's just trouble written all over it. So we were friends, actually, for a whole year. Touring together and traveling together on the show. And for a whole year, he kept trying to like take me on this date. And I just kept saying, nah, now
we work
together.
That's probably why you ended up together, because he was so used to people wanting to speak to him and you were like,
maybe. 100%.
But I wasn't even playing hard to get. I just was hard to get.
There we go with this.
Do you know what? The funniest thing, one of the nights that we all went out as a cast together for the first time with Ali Ash, he actually looked over at me from across the room and said, come on, when are you going to let me buy you a drink? And I was like, no, like, it's fine.
Really,
and he said really seriously, do you know what? I'm going to marry you one day. You watch, I'm going to marry you. And I remember going, yeah. And look at us now. Yeah, 10
years
later.
Domestic bliss in lockdown.
Oh, I love that. I love hearing stories like that.
There was obviously a little bit of news recently that both Kevin and AJ have left the Strictly lineup. How do you feel about that? Obviously,
well, do you know? I mean, AJ and I hadn't worked together before Strictly, so I met AJ when he joined the Strictly cast, and I just think AJ was incredible. He was such a good pro on the show, so popular, and I mean, if you think about it, he was in the semi-final almost every year that he was in the show. He's incredible, so I'm gonna miss him a lot because he was a lovely guy to work with and a really great dancer. And then Kevin is a different story. I've known Kevin for over 10 years because we did Burn the Floor together. We've been traveling together, doing the show for many, many years before we even joined Strictly Come Dancing. And Kevin, myself, and Ali Ash came into Strictly on the same year. So we've kind of had this journey, the three of us together on the show. And so, yeah, to say goodbye to Kev was sad, but he's such a good friend. And I know that no matter what he puts his hands on, it's always going to be amazing. And I know that he really, really, really wants to focus on his musical theater career and other projects and other opportunities. I mean, the guy has won everything on Strictly. He was in every final.
There's nothing more.
He has every glitter ball. I don't think he can win anything else. I think he really really, yeah, I think he was ready to go and try other things. But I'm going to miss him. He's amazing.
I did see quite a funny video yesterday. He was colouring Stacey's hair live on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
Oh, and there maybe is something that he shouldn't do and wouldn't win a prize for.
Do you have any idea of who's going to be taking over from them?
Not at all. And, you know, they really don't tell us pros much. And I always feel bad because whenever I do interviews, I think people assume you're part of the show. Surely you know something. They keep us fully out of the loop because I think they know we're going to do press interviews. So they don't tell us anything. I just know who has been from us, which has been announced. Although I think all the same pros are coming back except for AJ and Kevin. So now it's kind of like, especially the boys, they get really excited to find out if they're going to bring in any new boys to the cast. But I think we've got such an amazing group of professionals and we all really, I know it sounds corny and cheesy, but we all really, really get along. And so whoever it is that's going to come in, I'm sure we're going to welcome them with arms wide open. Yeah.
Wow, can't wait. I hope that the series does carry on as normal, to be honest.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Stephen, you love it, don't you?
I absolutely love it, yeah. I've come most years to come watching the audience and stuff. So,
it's a great show. I love
really
it.
Really good, really good.
And, you know, as an Aliash and I really got it as well, just because we were meant to be doing Remembering the Oscars, our show right now as we speak. And we had rehearsed the whole show, created the whole show, did a whole run through of the entire show from top to bottom, saw the finished product. And literally the next day when we were meant to go into teching the show, which is just the lighting, costumes, and like those final touches, that morning they announced that unfortunately we're not going to be able to move forward with the tour because of the theaters and the new government guidelines. And we were absolutely devastated because we saw the gem. We saw the gem.
Yeah, you knew what was coming.
The show was going to be. But luckily, all the venues agreed for us to come back and do it in 2021. So it's almost kind of like the summer of 2020 never happened. We just moved it over.
Yeah, and, exactly.
We thought it would be a really nice thing to do because Aliash and our producers and I sat down and we thought, well, what can we do to give back, you know, to say thank you to everyone during this time. And we decided that the NHS, really, as we all know, because I clap every Thursday at 8 p.m., they're really, really putting themselves in the front lines, working so, so hard. So the least we could do, we thought, is give away free tickets to 10 NHS staff members for every single venue on the tour next year.
That's great. Yeah.
So at least they can come with their families and enjoy the show and not have to worry about it. And it's the littlest thing that we could do to kind of like say to thank you for everything that that they're all doing. Yeah.
And how would they get these? How would they be chosen? Do they have to enter a competition? Or?
No. It's just first come, first serve basis, really. So I think all the dates and all the venues are out now. I'm not really 100,000% sure. That's more the technical, logistical side. But if you go to the Remembering the Oscars website, all the information on what you need to do is there. But I do know it's first come, first serve. So the first 10 that have their NHS staff IDs and submit the information will get the 10 tickets.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much, Nerily. Really
thank you so much.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye. I actually believe we have our next guest.
You ready? You
Mr. Think Motivator I? There. Hello.
We are ready. How are you?
Overworked, underpaid. How are you?
Exactly the same. This must be a bit of a crazy time for you.
It's amazing. When you're away from breakfast television, people think you've died.
I never thought that.
No, we didn't think that. Yeah. It's all good.
I've been doing fitness festivals and stuff like that all over the country for years. And at every festival, it's not just in the Lycra. I always stop and we do a talk about yourself, looking after yourself, you know, the way you deal with other people, the way you are. So it's always been a mixture of the whole well-being thing and physical fitness. It's just that television has allowed me at last to come in and prove that, in fact, there's more to me than just Lycra. So I'm really happy to see because what they did, they've allowed me to do that. And we're back next week. The show's back next week. And it's on a longer run this time. It's going to be for 3 weeks.
Awesome.
That's amazing. So obviously in isolation, what's been your day-to-day routine? Because obviously you can't do what you normally would do and go to events and festivals and stuff. So what would you do day-to-day now?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I'm up very early because I've got so many projects on the go that this morning I was up at 2:30 because I had various things going through my mind.
In the morning?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't go to bed until normally about 11:30, 12:30.
And see, I'm the total opposite. I'm up at 2 a.m. I'm up until 4 a.m. in the morning and then I wake up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
a realization will come to you one day, right? That your body can't handle that. Don't worry, you're young, all right?
No, it's hitting me already. It's hitting me already, honestly. I'm shattered.
And so for me, it's my every day is different. But generally, if I have things that I have to deal with, I will wake up in the middle of the night and I have to go and sort it out because it's resting on my mind. I've got to offload it. And that offloading is something I talk to people all the while about, that we all need to do it. Because if you have a computer, if you just keep putting more and more information in, eventually it slows down. Eventually you need to offload into an external hard drive or whatever. But yesterday we never do that as human. And then we wonder why we break down.
Yeah.
And so if something's bothering me, I have to get up, I have to write it down, type it out, get rid of it out of my brain. Right, and then I can actually get on with the rest of the day. And generally, it starts with about 5:30. I come down, I have one slice of toast and peanut butter, a weak cup of coffee, and one banana.
Okay.
Then the train soon after that. This morning we didn't train. My wife and I trained at about 8 o'clock. So we train for the minimum is 45 minutes. But if I'm in a hurry, we'll do something really quick. But generally, it's all around conditioning I do. And today we went outside as well and we did a bit of a run around outside and took the dumbbells out into the cul-de-sac and we worked out outside this morning at 8:45.
So, so your neighbour's got a nice amazing show as well.
but I think, you know, all of us, because this lockdown period is kind of very interesting. A lot of people have different views about it. I'm actually really positive about it because I think there are a number of lessons that we're all having to learn nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
You think about it. No longer are you interested in that new dress, that new pair of shoes, that new pair. Well, not that you would be.
well.
Partly. and so what's important to us? Four things is important to us right now, isn't it? You probably don't know what they
are. Go on. Yeah.
Food in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Your health. And each other.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. Nothing else matters.
Yeah, it's really true.
Very true.
But do you think it's weird, it's kind of odd that it's taken this for people to realise those things?
Yes, it has. Because you see, the thing is, what's been going on is that people, I mean, you think about how many people were saying, I wish I had time to take a day off.
Yes, I said this to my mum. My mum was like, I'm so bored not being at work. And I was like, yeah, but when you're in work, you complain that you can't sleep and you have to wake up early. And I was like, so embrace actually being off. Like, I'm going in full swing. I'm embracing, like, waking up whenever I want. The only thing I need to get into is working out. And I don't know how to get myself started. Do you have any advice for me? Because I'm struggling.
You know, the point is right. I think it's important that you start every day on a real positive note. And it really starts with what you do when you get out of bed, the first thing you do. You've got to treat every single day like it's a business day, right? And I do. When I get up, I put on literally my workout gear, I put on my trainers, right? I do look in the mirror and I do go, wow.
I'm sure your wife does too, yeah.
and then I actually, there are certain things in life we can control. If you're driving, sitting in the car driving, you're in control. If you're a passenger, you're probably worried. Is he in good control? Is he really going to be all right? Is he driving too fast, too slow? You can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're driving, you can control that. This virus is something that you can't control. Nothing mm-hmm. about it. The one thing you can control is you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for once in your life, right, your total life control is in your hands. No one else can actually jeopardize it. No one else. It's in your hands. And it's in your hands whether today you're going to be happy or whether you're going to be sad.
It is a very good point, actually. You should be called Mr. Motivational, you know.
Speaker.
Yeah, Mr. Motivational Speaker. That was what I was trying to say.
We gravitate to our dominant thoughts. So if your thoughts are, today is going to be a great day no matter what, and you say that enough times when you get up, it will be a great day. Right.
I'm actually feeling quite pumped now.
I'm so invested in it. I'm literally
You're very good at this.
Can you show us a quick couple of moves that we can... Stephen's dreading this, but I want to see a couple moves we can do.
We must do the Mr. Motivator chant.
Yes.
What's that?
I do it. You count it. You let a beat go by and then you answer. So I go, go hoo. Follow it.
Go
hoo. Go hoo.
Go yeah.
Yeah.
Every morning when you get up in front of the mirror naked.
Right, I have my limits, Mr. Motivator, and that is it. You've pushed it too far.
My limit's not push, I'm going to do it.
Thank you so much for speaking to us. I really
appreciate
it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Those guests, Stephen, were just like amazing. They were just amazing today.
It's been a very inspirational show, I feel like we've learned a lot.
It has. And I feel like there was such a variety of people and a variety of different countries too. I mean,
yes, that's true. Yes, we've been talking about America and Jamaica and the South Downs or wherever the major chats
are popping up in this chat. This loads, chat is on fire.
Loads going on. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll be back next week.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to see who's on next week as well.
Yeah, what crazy people we're going to have next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye.